Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Hope you're enjoying your Thursday evening or Friday morning, depending on where you're listening in the country. Appreciate you checking out the show. The Bucks force Game 7. And I don't know if I'm channeling my inner Ben Maller. I feel like I am to a degree, but this is how I feel. The Nets are in trouble, baby. They are absolutely in trouble. I was on no island over here. That's what I say when I feel like nobody else is coming along with me for the ride. I actually like the Bucks' chances to win this series going into Game 6 better than the Nets. Because I look at the Nets, they're hobbled. They're a hobbled team. You just had Kevin Durant go off. A performance for the ages. A 49-point triple-double in Game 5. Just a virtuoso performance. Unbelievable. What were the chances that Lightning was going to strike again? They were horrible. That was a 2-point game in Game 5 a couple of nights ago with 15 seconds left. Giannis fumbled the ball, missed a couple of free throws. You know how it went down. But with Kevin Durant going, no other player in the history of the NBA playoffs has scored 45-plus points with over 15 rebounds and 10 assists. Nobody but Kevin Durant. So what were the chances he was going to run it back? We've never seen this in the history of the National Basketball Association. And all it was, oh, the Nets, the Bucks are done. You can't trust Giannis. It's over. The Nets are hobbled. They still don't have Kyrie Irving. And they have a hobbled Harden. That's what they have. They have a hobbled Harden. And if you look at KD, let's focus on him for a second. He played well. Played well in Game 6. Was not a bad performance by any stretch. It just wasn't a 49-point triple-double. He went for 32 points and 11 boards. Again, not a bad performance at all. But I think this is what happens. Sometimes people get drunk and they go into knee-jerk reaction mode. And they're just thinking about what they just saw. But if you look at the playoffs this season, we've seen this story before. Damian Lillard had an unbelievable performance with the Blazers in their series against the Nuggets. Dame went for 55 points. He had a couple of shots at the end of regulation and at the end of the first overtime to extend the game. Just clutch shots, epic performance. The next game he scored 28 points. Think about Donovan Mitchell with the Jazz. Game 1 against the Clippers goes for 45 points. What did he do the last game? 21 points. It's hard to sustain that type of level, but it seems like, based on the talking points after a game like that, with KD dropping 49, it's, oh, this is a wrap. It's over. Not so much. Not so fast. You look at James Harden. Remember when Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson referred to himself as Mr. Unlimited? Remember when he said that? Mr. Unlimited. It's the opposite right now with James Harden. He is Mr. Limited right now. That is James Harden. The beard is absolutely limited. He does not have the burst. He's not able to blow by defenders. He's a jump shooter right now. That's all he can do. He's got no quickness. There was a moment during Game 6 where Harden forced a turnover. He got a steal, and typically it would have been a fast break. And instead, he pulled the ball back. He hadn't even crossed half court, and he was like, I don't want to push this thing. My hammy is not even close to 100%, so let's throttle it on down here. And they didn't even have a fast break. that told you all you needed to know about James Harden. And it speaks to how great of a player he is, where he still goes for 16 points and 7 assists when he's totally limited. But you can't count on him in a Game 7. James Harden, as great of a player as he is, at fully healthy, has wet himself numerous times in the playoffs in big spots. So with him limited with the hamstring injury, I just don't like the Nets' chances. It's hilarious, too, because going into Game 5, a couple of nights ago, the talk was the Nets just aren't going to be able to score enough points. And then a performance for the ages by Kevin Durant, the Nets are able to score enough points, and it's like all of that just went right out the window. Oh, Giannis isn't clutch. He's limited. He can't shoot jumpers. The Bucks are done. And then you fast forward to Game 6 on Thursday, and the Nets score 89 points. They score 89 points, not even close to winning that game. It was garbage time. You had the backups in there for the final few minutes as the Bucks win by 15 points. Game 7 should be a lot of fun. And I'll be honest with you, this isn't to be shock jock or anything like that. I think the odds are in the Bucks' favor. I do. I thought the odds were in their favor going into Game 6. So why would I think otherwise now? I just see a hobbled Nets team, and I don't see much changing unless James Harden is able to see one of these witch doctors, or they're able to somehow miraculously cure Kyrie Irving with that nasty ankle injury. I just don't think the odds are in the Nets' favor. I'm Brian Noe, in for Big Ben here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's hear from Steve Nash, and there's a key word in here, limited. Here is Steve Nash talking about James Harden.
James was better tonight as far as what he was able to do, but you know it's tough. He's really limited, and it's not he can't do a lot of things that he's accustomed to doing. So I'm grateful that it doesn't appear that he has any setbacks, and if anything he played a little bit better. So, but a tough position for James, you know, to be out there trying his best, trying to help his team, and not be able to do or move the way he normally would.
Mr. Unlimited. You got to be unlimited.
Now, Roberto, I don't know if you can do this on the fly, but if you can chop off the UN in unlimited and we can make a new soundbite for James Harden where it's Mr. Limited, that if you can make that happen, that's what I'm looking for. We can presto have a new soundbite for James Harden. Now let's hear from the Beard. He was talking about how he was limited on both ends. Here is James Harden.
Day by day, I continue to get better. You know, the last game, Game 5, was the first time that I even, you know, did any movement or anything like that since I got hurt. So tonight was no different, you know. So I'm out there to do whatever it takes to win, and I got to be better on both ends of the ball, which I will be in Game 7.
Mr. Limited.
Look at that. Look at that. I thought it was going to take a commercial break for production
Tyshirt. The help of Alex Tyshirt. Thank you, Alex.
Look, hat tip to Tyshirt, huh? Nice job by him. I like. Can I hear that again real fast, Roberto?
Mr. Limited.
And listen, I hate that this is the case for Harden. I hate that any player is injured. If you root for injuries, you're a horrible person, is basically what it boils down to. I hate that he's limited. I'm not laughing at that whatsoever. I'm just laughing at the bad logic. It took an epic performance by KD for the Nets to squeak it out by the skin of their teeth. Giannis fumbled a pass down by 2 points with 15 seconds to go in Game 5. Just think about that. Nobody in the history of the NBA did what Kevin Durant did in Game 5, and yet it was a 2-point game with 15 seconds to play. So, if you're doing the math here on the fly, what if Kevin Durant doesn't have another epic performance for the ages? Where does that leave the Nets with no Kyrie and hobbled Harden? I think it leaves them out of the playoffs. I think that's where it leaves them. By the way, Jeff Green, speaking of not actually running it back. Jeff Green, 27 points in game 5. 7-for-8 from 3. He was great a couple of nights ago. On Thursday night, 5 points. 5 points. 2-for-9 from the field. Also, Joe Harris. There is an APB out for Joe Harris. The man is on a milk carton right now. Joe Harris is a deadly shooter, and all of a sudden, he looks like he's Ben Simmons or Giannis. He can't shoot. He can't shoot the ball. And what's happening with the guy? He was 1-for-4 from 3 in game 6. He's in his own head. I don't know if he can get on track in game 7 or not. Now, it isn't just about the Nets not getting it done. Couple of rose petals for the Bucks. Chris Middleton, 38 points, and seemingly no one cares. I feel so bad for Chris Middleton. If somebody else, if KD, if Harden, if one of these guys with a name goes off for that, we're just singing that guy's praises. What a performance. 38 points, backs against the wall. He comes out firing. Chris Middleton was 11 for 16 from the field. 11 for 16, and he's just lost in the shuffle. We're like, yawn, whatever. Chris Middleton looks like Michael Jordan compared to hobbled Harden right now, a.k.a. Mr. Limited. That's how Chris Middleton looks. And also, Giannis, 30 points, took 0 three-pointers. He finally got the memo that he can't shoot to save his life. I'm glad the Bucks coaching staff got him the memo. They said, Giannis, go to the paint, work the mid-range, try to get to the free throw line and hopefully hit those free throws. But let's not live from three. Jump shooting, let's go in the paint here, big man, right? Let's try to get to the rim. So no three-pointers attempted from Giannis. One quickie from Giannis. Now this is rich. Listen to Giannis talk about the Bucks. And if they are built for these moments, here he is.
We're built for this moment, simple as that. And nobody says it's going to be easy. Might be hard, but we are capable of doing it, you know. So everybody, mindset was, everybody had a great mindset. And everybody, you know, came to play, came to compete. And that's all I can ask, you know, for my team. And hopefully we can do that in game 7 and win the game.
Ooh, they got it done in game 6, but that is rich right there. It was just game 5, the previous game where Giannis is fumbling the ball with 15 seconds, missing 2 free throws. And now fast forward to Thursday night, and he's like, we're built for these moments. This is what we're freaking built for. This is what we do over here. I don't know. Here's what boils down in my mind. I believe in the Nets less than I believe in the Bucks because of the injury issues. I'm not sitting here saying, hashtag fear the deer. This team, they're built for these moments. Ice water in their veins. I got big-time question marks about Milwaukee, too. I just have more with a depleted, undermanned roster that the Nets have right now with no Kyrie and a hobbled Harden. So I think the Bucks pull this out. Game 7 should be fun.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, what's going on? Hope you're enjoying your Friday morning. Hit us up. Feel free. 877-99 on Fox. I will get to the calls in just a little bit, but we've been talking NBA tonight. But you know me, I love me some ball. Love football. I'm a football guy first. And there was something that caught my attention today. I wanted to bring it up. So on Thursday, I caught a couple of sound bites from some NFL quarterbacks. That's right. There's some sound bites. And it got me thinking of Aaron Rodgers. Now, let's start with mature quarterbacks for a second here, and I'll weave my way to the immature Aaron Rodgers. Now, not necessarily known as the beacon of maturity, one Baker Mayfield. So Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson, they are eligible for contract extensions. And so they're being asked about this, like, hey, is this on your mind? Are you starting to get itchy about getting a deal signed? So let's start with Baker Mayfield. Here's what he said about being eligible for a contract extension.
I'm in no rush because I'm just trying to win games. And like I said, it'll handle itself. I don't try and feed too much into that because, you know, that's like wasting my time, energy, and thought process on stuff that I'm not in control of right now. So I'm going to handle what I can control.
Okay. All right. Nice response. Mature. Here's Lamar Jackson, Ravens quarterback, former MVP, eligible for a contract extension. Is this weighing on his mind?
You know, I ain't going to lie to you. I'm not really focused on that right now. I'm focused on getting me a Super Bowl. You know, I'm focused on getting better.
Okay. Very mature as well. Team first attitude. Not playing the, I'm a former league MVP. Show me the money. He's like, it's going to happen. I'm not worried about it. I'm just focused on winning. Then we go to Aaron Rodgers here. I understand they're not all the same situation. There are going to be differences, but I am just looking at the quarterbacks. Are they handling their situation maturely or immaturely? So here is Aaron Rodgers. Of course, he's got reason to be bent. We've been through it. You don't need to go through the litany of reasons. They could have drafted someone in the first round last year that, I don't know, could have played and helped their pursuit of winning a championship instead of being the heir to the quarterback throne, if you will, with Jordan Love. So I understand he's bent about that. Some other things have rubbed him the wrong way. There's reason for him to be frustrated, but it's all about how he's handling it. So this was Aaron Rodgers a little earlier in the week. Let it wash over you.
It's been one of those quiet off seasons you just dream about where you can just kind of go through your process on your own quietly. And, you know, that's all you can ask for as an older player in the league and someone who's been around for a long time and just enjoys that time to yourself, to just relax, to not be bothered, to not have any obligations or anything going on. And, you know, I think that's what this offseason has been about. It's been about really enjoying my time and spending it where I want to spend it and not feeling like I have to go anywhere, not having any responsibilities, but still being an NFL player at the same time. It's been great.
Oh, my Lord. Are you kidding me right now? Seriously. Can you not hear the difference in maturity of young quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson, compared to how Aaron Rodgers is handling this situation with the Packers? And make no mistake, Baker Mayfield has not been the source of maturity. You're talking about a dude who's done some very immature things over the years. Running from the cops while sloshed, that would qualify, right? There's also him calling out his own teammate, running back Duke Johnson, saying, the train's moving ahead. Either you're on board or you're not. He was getting involved in somebody else's contract situation. So he's done silly things before. He's said many silly things. Baker Mayfield actually went on a tour before the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and he's like, I got to be better. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be more mature, and yada, yada. He's backing it up right now. He could say, look at what I did last year. The light bulb came on. Josh Allen with the Bills. Same thing with him in year three. I stepped it up in year three. I want my cash. And he's not saying that at all. He's like, it'll happen. Not worried about it. Same thing with Lamar Jackson, a former league MVP. You realize that Lamar Jackson's base salary in 2021 is $1.7 million. There are plenty of players that have gotten paid after 3 years in the league. Aaron Donald, J.J. Watt. So he could be one of these guys that says, give me my cash. Xavier Howard, who's a cornerback with the Dolphins, he is holding out right now. Head coach Brian Flores says it's a unique situation. So Howard signed an extension in 2019. Over $70 million, five-year deal. He wants it redone. He's like, wait a minute, I'm not the top-paid corner anymore? There are multiple guys in front of me? No. This isn't working. The point is, Baker and Lamar could be about themselves. They could be about their own situations instead of taking the high road publicly and saying, it's going to sort itself out. I'm not worried about it. I'm focused on the team. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers just continues to act up. Aaron Rodgers is like a kid whose parents just don't put him in check. That's what Aaron Rodgers is acting like this whole offseason. He's promoting the match, that golf event. He's wearing a t-shirt. I'm offended. You heard the sound that we just played. That's kind of cool to kick back and not have responsibilities where I kind of get the best of both worlds. Technically, I'm an NFL player, but I'm not doing anything. I'm skipping mini camps. Really, dude? He's just acting like a kid. And I think a lot of people see that. I understand he has more than enough reason to be frustrated. But that's not good enough. You can't handle your frustration in any way and then just say, well, I got reason to be frustrated, so I can pretty much say or do whatever I want. No. It doesn't work like that. Aaron Rodgers isn't being close to being a leader or handling his situation maturely. He's just acting up. He's like the guy that grew up in a strict household and went to college and just let loose and is like, oh my gosh, I'm free. I can do whatever I want. That's how Aaron Rodgers is acting this offseason. He's acting like a child. And just because he won league MVP and was extraordinary last season, no one's doubting his talent. There are a lot of people that will give him a free pass. He doesn't deserve it at all. Not even a bit, the way he's handling it. I just think it's been a joke. I'm Brian Noe, in for Big Ben here on Fox Sports Radio. Before I get to MGM John, a couple of tweets here. Todd checked in. We were talking about some of the more memorable sporting events that we've seen in person, and I just thought this was funny. He checked in and wrote, I was at the Cardinals-Phillies game back in the 90s when the fans threw batteries at J.D. Drew. Certainly memorable. Yeah, that qualifies. Also, Ryan checked in on Twitter. At the No Show is where you can find me. He writes, I'm with Romosexual. Sporting event fights are awesome. Screw the soft-ass NBA. 80s, 90s NBA guys used to get punched in the mouth on the court. Okay, listen, this whole conversation has taken a turn where we're getting off track. So I started talking about Suns fan who beat up a Nuggets fan a handful of days ago, right? It was game three between the Suns and Nuggets, and Suns fan just wallops the other guy. Devin Booker hooks up the Suns fan, gives him a signed jersey, and gives him tickets for a Western Conference Finals game. And I just made the point, that's not in the NBA's best interest. It's not as if somebody tells Adam Silver about this. Hey, did you hear about this, Adam? Yeah, so here's the deal, Kamish. Suns fan just, I mean, gives the 1-2 and then some. We're talking uppercuts, left hooks, jabs. This guy should be in the UFC, really. And he just crushes this Nuggets fan. And Devin Booker hooked him up with the signed jersey and tickets to the Western Conference Finals. Do you think Adam Silver is like, ha! No way! You serious? That is hilarious. Oh, man, that made my day. How do I retweet that? Really? No, because he thinks of it as a business, all right? He's not thinking of it like you and me, where we're scrolling through Twitter and we see this epic fighting video in the stands and we're like, oh, my gosh, he wrecked that guy. He's operating a business. So there's no way that Adam Silver is looking at that and going, this is great. Oh, my gosh. How do we encourage more of this in our stands? No, he's looking at it. Oh, my gosh. I've got a star player in Devin Booker who's not only advocating violence, rewarding violence. Not good. Not good for the NBA. And I know I got to be the one guy. We're having a party here. There's loud music. People are doing keg stands. And I'm the one that walks in and says, hey, guys, the cops might show up. We're a little loud right now. No one wants that guy around. I get it. But what I'm saying is true. I'm just encouraging you to look at it from a different perspective than your own. It's different when you're scrolling through Twitter compared to how Adam Silver will look at that situation. Now, I talked to Charlie last hour. Charlie's basically calling me soft. He's like, yeah, no, with your frosted tips and you sticking out your pinky every time you sip your lattes over there in the Pacific Northwest. It's like, not about that at all. Me, from my perspective, yeah, I love seeing fights. I thought it was entertaining, but I'm not looking at that from the NBA's point of view. If you sit here and try to convince me that it's good for the NBA that Devin Booker is rewarding violence. You're a moron. That's just what it boils down to. I know it's, we can agree to disagree. No, you're a freaking moron is what it comes down to. You can love it. I'm not saying that you have to dislike it. I'm just saying the NBA is not looking at that and saying, oh, this is awesome like you might. That's the only point I'm making. Now, with that, let me get out to the phones here real fast. My guy, MGM John, he's gone. All right. Man, did you hear my momentum that was just disrupted by MGM John? My guy. He's like, you know what? I got things to do this evening. You know, no, I don't have time to be waiting around for you to talk about Aaron Rodgers and not quite bum fights, but crowd fights.
Were you ever involved in a fight in the crowd, Brian, back in the day when you were a youngster?
No, I was never in a crowd fight. You?
Of course.
Yeah? Who was it? Was it one of those Giants fans back in the day at
who
a Dodgers game?
Nah, the Giants fans are too soft for me.
They're too soft.
Yeah, they didn't step up to me.
Who was what kind of fan
Raiders,
was it?
Raiders Chargers.
Did you pummel a Chargers fan?
Yeah, of course.
What'd you get him with? Was it the 1-2 or the left hook?
Left right.
Yeah. You give him the little two-piece right there. I want to know the whole story. What led to it? Was he like, Phillip Rivers is the man. You guys wish you had Phillip Rivers. I know you do. What was it?
What led to it was probably that I was S-faced drunk, Brian. That's what probably led to it. That's number one.
Yeah. And you just saw someone with a bolt on their t-shirt and swung away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, that was my mentality like an idiot back in the day. Now I've changed. I'm a father now. So
yeah, you're a mature,
law-abiding
citizen.
Yeah.
Not as fun anymore.
Yeah.
Huh?
Whatever.
MGM is back.
Idiots doing the same thing now. So
no doubt. My guy MGM John is back. I don't know what happened, MGM John. I don't know if you heard it. I was in this. You ever see, like, Chris Middleton has a lather going on, right? Like, he sweats a decent amount, or Shaq. I had a good lather going on in the first segment, and I threw it to you, and Coop whispers, he's like, MGM John is gone. He's not there anymore.
Oh, well, I'm sorry about that no-show. I'm going to have to tell you one thing. It's like, you know, Chris Middleton, great game for him on that game 6, but I believe game 7 will be a massive flop again for the Bucks, because they're going to lose somehow to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's going to go for another 50-burger. James Harden, believe it or not, may go for 30. And then Kyrie's out as usual. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Aaron Rodgers, he's a big crybaby. He's from California, of all places. You know how Californians are. They're a big crybaby. I don't get what I want. I'm taking my toys.
That was a pretty good impression right there, MGM John. Now, I want to know what we're betting, because there is no way Mr. Limited, which is James Harden with the hamstring injury, is dropping 30. There is no way that's happening. What are we betting?
Well, I'm betting that the odds with Game 7 at Brooklyn, we can't see, is that they are actually plus 160 somehow, because of what's going on with James Harden scoring only 16 and KD has to go another 40 points basically. But what we're seeing is that, well, I can guess that I'm trying to see right now, because I've got a buddy of mine from MGM just trying to hook me up with the game. But unfortunately, like, you know, you got to keep it private. You know, you want to change the outcome.
See, I can notice that you're just filling time here, because, you know, I called you out. And if we're setting the line at James Harden's point total at 29.5, there is no way the over is hitting. And you're trying to go misdirection on me, MGM John. You're like, oh, shoot, I didn't know we were going to bet on this. I was just speaking hyperbolically, right? Like, you know you don't want to bet. Harden's not sniffing 30 points.
I have to bet James Harden going 30. That's the only way you can beat the Bucks. I mean, if Giannis has to go for 30, then I'm going to take the over on Giannis going 30. If Chris Middleton has to go maybe, let's say, 25, then I might take the under.
Yeah. Okay, MGM John. Well, so I get it. You go Nets game 7, you think the Bucks are going to choke, and you've got the beard going for 30 points.
Beard going over 30, yeah.
Man, I just
KD will have his usual 35 and 40 over 35. I guarantee that.
Yeah. All right. We'll see how it goes. MGM John, thanks for checking in. There he is, live in Vegas. He didn't want to bet it. You know, he didn't want to bet it with me. It's all right. KD will have a special game in Game 7. There's no way that guy's going to be a no-show. But the heart, James is just limited. Harden is completely limited right now. The hamstring isn't right. He's not dropping 30. I don't see that at all.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, hope you're enjoying your Friday. Giannis Antetokounmpo oozing confidence. That is right. After the Bucks won Game 6, forcing a Game 7 against the Nets. And we got drama. We have got some drama. We will see a little bit later on Friday if a couple of teams can force a Game 7 just as the Bucks have. Jazz will try to do it. Sixers will try to do it. For a second, it is just an absolute joke that the Sixers haven't closed out the series. You go back where Embiid was 0 for 12 in the second half of Game 4 and then Game 6. I'm sorry, Game 5, where they had the 26-point lead and blew it. That's just, they shouldn't have dropped the last two games, and yet somehow they did. Somehow they did. The Sixers are just a completely immature team. I love, and this might seem like it's nitpicking, but the little things matter in the playoffs. And Joel Embiid, this was after Game 4. He had gone 0 for 12 in the second half. Sixers lost the game, had a golden opportunity to go up 3-1 in the series. Didn't work out. Series was tied 2-2 at the time. So Joel Embiid stinks it up in the second half. And in the post-game press conference, he was talking about, yeah, I didn't have it tonight. And then he glances up and he's like, oh, did you see that dunk by Kawhi? Did you see that? Wow. Oh, wow. What a dunk. Yeah, so anyway, I didn't quite have it tonight. Bye, guys. Have a good night. That told me a lot. It just told me, like, where is your competitiveness? I mean, really, if you start thinking about this, and it's not a shock that the Sixers, who are immature, kicked away a 26-point lead the next game. They're immature. They're kids. Can you imagine Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, great competitors, after a playoff loss, glancing up at a monitor and being like, oh man, did you see the dunk by that other star player? No way. They wouldn't be caught dead doing something like that. Even modern day players, there's no way. LeBron wouldn't do that. Damian Lillard wouldn't do that. There are plenty of star players that are competitive where after a loss that they stunk it up in the second half, they are not pausing in their press conference to be like, wow, what a dunk by Kawhi. It was a joke. Immature. And I love Joel Embiid in terms of having some flair, some personality. He's an individual. You can have all of that. But time and place, there are times where it's about business. Look at Gronk. Good example. Gronk likes to have a good time. He does some wild, zany stuff. But he has been business first. When it's time for business, he's about the business. And then he does all the weird, crazy, off-the-wall stuff afterward. But he doesn't let business get in the way, or he doesn't let pleasure get in the way of business. That's not the case with Embiid. And some might look at this and be like, wow, dude, you're reading way too far into this. I don't think so at all. The little things matter. Focus matters in the playoffs. Who was missing two free throws with 10 seconds left in Game 5? Oh, that's right. It was Joel Embiid. Missed two free throws when they're down by 3 points. It's a lack of focus. It's a lack of maturity. He's a tremendous player. But time and place. I'm all for having fun and cracking jokes, but not in church. It's time for business. Not in a business meeting. It's time for serious. And Joel Embiid doesn't have that yet. But in any event, the Sixers and the Jazz, they will be trying to do what the Bucks have just done, which is force a game 7. So if we circle back real quickly to Giannis. So Giannis oozing confidence after the game 6 win. Listen to him just talking about, yeah, that's how we get down. Here's Giannis.
We're built for this moment. Simple as that. And nobody says it's going to be easy. Might be hard, but we are capable of doing it, you know. So everybody, mindset was, everybody had a great mindset, and everybody, you know, came to play, came to compete, and that's all I can ask, you know, for my team, and hopefully we can do that in game 7 and win the game.
Okay, couple of things real quickly. I think confidence is such an interesting thing. Because you just heard Giannis right there. He's like, we're built for these moments. That's how we get down, you know? Let me take you back to before the playoffs began. Giannis and the Bucks were going to face the Heat. And Miami's the team that put them out last year. And this is what Giannis said before the series started. Now, you tell me if he's just oozing confidence right here.
I don't know if this year is going to be a different team. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't say that. It might be the same. Who knows?
It's like, hey man, I hope the results are going to be different, but I honestly don't know. It could be the same. We might get bounced again. I don't know. Like, so you hear the difference, right? Going into the playoffs, he's like, eh. And now after a game 6 win, he's like, we're freaking built for this. That's how we get down. That's confidence. That's what good results do to build your confidence. And I'll say this. If the Bucks find a way to win game 7, they're going to gain a lot of confidence, and they are going to be a tough, tough out going forward. First things first, they got to take down the Nets in game 7. But I just find that to be fascinating because it's bigger than just basketball. Look at other sports. Look at some players that had early success. They gained confidence, and they just felt comfortable, right? There are, I would go with, I know it's the same sport, but think about Robert Horry. Big Shot Bob hit some huge shots, and his mentality was like, oh yeah, I'm not afraid of the big moment. I take those shots. You know, if it doesn't go in, whatever, but you know, I'm confident. He felt comfortable because he had success, right? And the confidence just grew and grew. Think about the opposite. I thought Tony Romo was a really, really good quarterback. But in those big moments, he had a couple of setbacks, and then it seemed to just accumulate, and he'd have another one, and there's another one. And A-Rod in baseball, just lacking playoff confidence and getting in your own head and all of those things. I find that to be really, really fascinating. And so when it comes to the Bucks, you've got to have results go your way to really gain the maximum amount of confidence. No one is unflappable. No one after losing 1 year and then losing another year and then not getting it done the next year and you individually don't get it done, no one is unflappable thinking, oh yeah, I'm still the best player and we're still the best team. They don't think like that. You have to have the results go your way. And so you're hearing a completely different Giannis after a game 6 win on Thursday night. And so we'll see if they can build on that in game 7. Now, the last thing I'll say about it is this. It's not just about who you're betting on. It's sometimes who you're betting against. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh my gosh, you want to talk about clutch? It's the Milwaukee Bucks. You just look up clutch in the dictionary, there's Giannis right there. Like, no, they have shown time and time again that they cannot be trusted. Giannis doesn't have a reliable jump shot. And sometimes the team wets themselves in big moments. But I think that the Nets are in a worse position. They're the walking wounded. James Harden with the hamstring issue, he's not close to himself. So unless KD goes just berserk, I don't love their chances. I don't know that they're going to be able to score enough points. Can you trust Joe Harris hitting shots right now? Normally you can, but not right now. He's on a milk carton. He is missing. Jeff Green came back to earth. Game 5, 27 points. Thursday night, game 6, 5. Unless KD is going just out of his mind crazy. I don't love the Nets' chances, so I wouldn't sit here and BS you and be like, oh my gosh, Bucks, this team has the heart of a champion. I think the Nets, I like them less. That's what it boils down to in my mind. It's not that I like the Bucks more, it's that I like the Nets less. And that's what it could come down to. I'm Brian Noe, in for Big Ben here on Fox Sports Radio. Let me stop yakking here. Let me get out to, I believe we still have Lance the bus driver. I think he's still around. So if so, we head on out to San Francisco with Lance joining us here on an early Friday morning. What's going on, Lance?
Hey, what's going on, Brian? Your story was pretty funny. Your story you told before was really funny about being on the sidelines at that Notre Dame game. Pretty funny story. Not funny at all. I had to tell you that, buddy. Two, before I roll
on. Wait, hold on.
The story was not funny. You said, I got a funny story to tell, and you're sitting on the sidelines yelling into a phone. That's not funny, man. That's sad. That's sad that you're at a Notre Dame college game, and you're screaming into a phone to somebody that no one's going to listen to. That wasn't funny. I'm just letting you know. I'm giving you a heads up.
Yeah, Lance, just get lost, dude. Sorry, man. Like, just beat it. Sorry, I don't know, man. Like, I'll be like, hey, yeah, come on in. No, man, you can't walk in with muddy shoes. You just sounded like a jackass. So, yeah.
Oh, he's a Giants fan, so that's good. He did.
Yeah, hit it there, Lance. Well, you didn't like my Coop. You seemed like you were laughing at me. Telling the story about trying to do updates in a packed crowd and I couldn't hear anything. And then there's an injury and it's all awkward. Like, yeah, sorry. Lance is all bent out of shape on that one. Goodness.
Wow. That's kind of his MO. He's a troll. He gets on the air and talks crap to Ben. And that's his thing.
It's his calling card?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, well. Oh, well. I'm curious what he was going to say. You know, I don't know. I think if he would have just come out and said it, that's one thing. But he like sneak attacked me. And I'm like, dude, just, you know, be transparent. If you want to troll me, go for it. Just troll away. But don't give me the shell game over here. You know, just come right out and do it. Otherwise, no, I'm not going to respect it. No love for that. Oh, my gosh. We've got Marcel in Brooklyn. My guy. We turned the tide over here, right? We had, who was this low life? Lance, the bus driver. Oh, gosh, terrible call. We revive the show right now. Resuscitate the show with Marcel in Brooklyn. How you doing, Marcel?
Hey, Brian Noe. Good morning to you. There was no L in your name. Brian Noe, N-O-E. I mean, N-O-E.
That's right, Marcel. How are things, buddy? How are things going for you?
It's good for the beer. Happy happy Father's Day to you, Andy Furman. I will love to be...
Happy Father's Day to you, Brian.
Wait, hold on, Marcel.
What about me, Marcel? I'm actually a father, Marcel.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I should say a happy almost Father's Day, but my pops is my grandfather, you know. And my two uncles, Kareem and Dynamite, they live here in New York especially instead.
Well, there you go. Yeah, there it is.
Thank you, Marcel. Thank you for saying Happy Father's Day to me, Marcel.
Oh, absolutely. And my man, Andy Furman, too. I really miss you guys on Sunday, but I will speak to you and along with Mr. Fenley.
Hey.
Yes, indeed. I'll be back. I'll be definitely the three of you gentlemen on Fox Sports Sunday covering all things sports, including the Nets, Isles, Mets, and Yankees.
You always have the breaking news.
Yes.
I understood. I'm a true New York sports ambassador for it.
You absolutely are, man. You never let us down. So what's on your mind, Marcel? Are we doing food picks today? What's going on here?
Oh, I'll have the Justin in Cincinnati just around the corner. But you know what, Brian? A new dawn, a new day. Let's wrap up the 5-day work week and have the Father's Day weekend all around us. So, Mallow Militia, let's get into it. And yes, indeed, hashtag let's get into it is my man Justin Cincinnati, who joins me right now. You got a chance, Mr. Justin. What do you got for food picks from last night? Good morning to you, and happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. I think in honor of Father's Day, Finley celebrated with five guys, and I think you had a corn dog or so.
You will never know what's going to be the good. You will never know what the good choice or the bad choice is going to be. I have to say, for the failure side for Mr. Justin.
Failure.
The bad choice. Sorry, Justin. Not the good choice at all.
F minus. F plus.
F minus it is.
F plus.
Let's do it again on Monday. Could it be a mixed match with Ben? I promise you, Justin. Thank you. And have yourself a great weekend.
Father's
now
Day.
Straight to the boys. In for big man, Brian Noah. What do you got for food picks for last night, buddy?
All right, Marcel, I'm going to go with, I'm just going to keep it simple, right? I'm going to go with a little bit of pepperoni pizza. That's what you got down with.
Ooh, love the pepperoni pizza. I give you the first time in radio history, the good choice for you in the A+.
Wow.
Be brave, my friend.
Be brave.
All right, Brian Finley in for Eddie. What do you got?
I think you had gluten-free chocolate sundae.
The chocolate sundae is going to be a very gluten-free. A-plus for you instead with you and Brian. Two Bryans instead. Let's play food picks. And now straight to the other gentleman who doesn't give the failure or not the good to be a good choice at all. Roberto, what do you got? Pascal Siakam. No. Cut the sound bite.
Oh, you want to tell me Happy Father's Day first, Marcel?
Yeah, go ahead. Happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Marcel. I'm going to say you had Chef Boyardee Beefaroni.
Could it be a very Chef Boyardee Beefaroni, an Italian food tradition?
Hell yeah.
Could it be a very
authentic?
Authentic good choice for you, Roberto. So ooh, fingers crossed for the mixed match.
All right,
fingers crossed.
And now straight to Coop de Loop, a.k.a. the Coop Scoop on Entertainment is just around the corner. What do you got?
Hot dog.
Hot dog with French fries. Or even, what do you got?
Roberto, you already guessed. It's my turn.
Okay, sorry.
Marcel, I think that you had Raising Cane's.
Ooh.
Raising Cane's?
Yes. It's a chicken fingers place. Your chicken fingers.
Could it be not just for the nationwide, but it's located in Ohio. That's what Dayton and Justin in Cincinnati knows. Not nationwide.
Jackson.
Now for my...
Wait, what's my grade?
Oh, you got a grade for the A+.
Yeah!
And now, as I straight to you guys before the break, my food pick from last night, it will be hot dogs with French fries and ketchup. It is going to be a very awesome, nutritious food.
Yeah.
Exactly the way it is.
Brian, Roberto, your second guess would have been good.
I'll see you and Andy along with Brian Finley on Sunday. And thank you, Roberto. You have yourself a great Father's Day
weekend. Thank you, Marcel.
Thank you.
When we come back, more calls and the Coop Scoop on Entertainment the Ben Maller Show with Brian Knoll filling in comes your way right after these messages. So don't go anywhere.
This guy.
Thank you, Marcel. Yeah.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Okay, Coop, let's dive into it real fast here. Some Coop's scoops. I need to know if there are any shows, if there are any movies, any must-see stuff. So lay it out for me.
That's right, and I will let you know, Brian. We'll start at theaters. Now, coming out this weekend, the only really movie worth mentioning in theaters, it's already out. It came out a couple days ago, technically. It's called Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. Now, I've seen the previews for this.
Right.
Looks kind of ridiculous in my opinion, but it's star-studded. It's got Ryan Reynolds, Samuel L. Jackson, Salma Hayek. She's always great to look at. Antonio Banderas and Morgan Freeman. They're all in this movie.
Wow.
And my girl wants to see it, so I probably will be seeing it. And I'll check back in with you guys next week, let you know how it is. Another movie that is premiering this weekend, and I have a gripe about this. Mm-hmm. So the latest Pixar movie, Pixar's 24th feature film, that comes out. It's available right now, actually. It's called Luca. But here's the thing. It's only available on Disney Plus. There will be no theatrical release. And this bothers the crap out of me. So the last Pixar movie, Soul, which I believe won Best Animated Feature at the Academy Awards. That was also a streaming exclusive, but that one was released in the heart of the pandemic. Movie theaters were closed. Totally understand that. I was fine with it. But now we're at a point where, like, most places are back open. Most states are back open. You should be putting movies like this in theaters, especially since I canceled my Disney Plus subscription, and I don't have Disney Plus, so I can't see this movie unless I sign up again. So I'm a little upset about that, but it sounds pretty cool, actually. This is set on the Italian Riviera, and it's an original story centering on a pair of young sea monsters who seek to learn more about the world beyond the sea. And, you know, it's Pixar, so it's probably going to be great.
I would call BS on that as well, Coop.
About
you
got to
release those movies in the theater.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's very annoying. Yeah. As far as other TV things this weekend, there's a new series on Apple TV Plus this weekend. It's called Physical. It's set in the 80s, and it's about a San Diego housewife that launches a VHS aerobics instruction business. So, and it's a comedy slash drama. So that is on Apple TV Plus this weekend, available right now. Moving on a little bit later into the weekend. Now, sometimes during Coop Scoop Entertainment, I see something on here that kind of sparks my interest, but it's on one of the regular TV channels, like regular cable, like AMC or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of focus strictly on the premium channels or the streaming networks. And so I will ask listeners, if anybody happens to check this out themselves, let me know, tweet me, let me know if I should check it out, because I'm interested, but not enough to check it out myself. This show is called Kevin Can F Himself.
Wow.
Yeah. It premieres on AMC at 9 p.m., and it combines single-camera and multi-camera formats, kind of like the old Larry Sanders show. And it's a dark comedy, and it's what happens when a sitcom wife has an awakening and realizes that her perfect marriage is anything but. And Rashida Jones is one of the producers, and that is on AMC at 9 p.m. on Sunday night. And then last thing that I want to mention, Ben, before we get out of here, or Brian, I don't know if any of you guys saw this one, but it was a documentary on HBO a while back called All Be Gone in the Dark. And it was a true crime series based on the Golden State Killer. I don't know if anybody saw that, but there is a new bonus episode that talks about what has happened in the case since the miniseries first aired a while back. That is on Monday at 10 p.m. on HBO. And back to you, Brian.
Very nice. Lots of stuff there. Now, I have a follow-up question here, Coop, real fast, if I may.
Yes.
It's been recommended to me. I don't know if you know about it. I'm sure you know about it, but I don't know if you've watched it. Mayor of Easttown.
Love it. It was great.
Yeah. I've heard good things about it.
It is really good, and I'm a huge Kate Winslet fan. She's a fantastic actress, and she does a great job in this as well.
What's it on?
HBO.
It is HBO. Okay.
Yeah.
Someone said Netflix. I searched for it the other day, and I'm like, that's not on there.
Yep, nope, not on Netflix.
All right, I'll check it out on HBO.